This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 12th, 2013, episode 807.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
As you may have surmised, it is Thursday, so that means you only have one day left to surf the web for off-kilter classifieds and email them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with bad ads in the subject line. On tomorrow's live show, like we do every Friday, the reading of the ads will reveal the top two, to whom we will present, from Horse Grooming Solutions, a grooming tote filled with products valued at over $100. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than the Horse Grooming Solutions brands that you have come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, voted number one horse health brand by consumers, Silverado Show Grooming, and Old Timers Equine. You can find them all at your local tack and feed suppliers, or you can go online to horsegroomingsolutions.com. On the opposite side of the prize table, from Epona Products, the Perfectly Primped Prize Pack. With Epona's Perfectly Primped Prize Pack, you'll have the ultimate tools for cleaning and massaging. The Scrubby Bath Cloth, Ultimate, and All-Purpose Mitt, they are all effective for removing sweat marks, scrubbing out dirt and grime during baths, and bringing out a natural glow when used for a gentle massage. You can find Epona grooming products at your local tack and feed store, or you can visit them online at eponaproducts.com. Now, tuck in your earbuds good and tight, or crank up your car radio, as we enjoy this mashup of new shows from the Horse Radio Network. First up, the story of a tiny jousting horse with a big heart, some crazy horse crazy kid gift ideas, and food talk from Blazed Kids Radio, the show for the young at heart who are crazy about horses.
This is Jeff.
And this is Jessica. You're listening to Blaze Kids Radio.
Oh, Jessica, did you have a great Thanksgiving?
I did. Very yummy food.
I'll bet. Did Jasper benefit from any of that? We've been talking a lot about tasty horse treats, and we're going to talk more about that today, too. Were you inspired by any of those unique treats that you read in Blaze magazine?
Well, I'm thinking about maybe cooking up like a couple of treats, but can't cook them all up. Won't have enough ingredients.
I guess not. It was a fun show last week with Sean from Clicks Photography and Debbie too, from Gentle Carousel. I understand Sean she's come back from Costa Rica and now she's off to Mexico to do another sort of riding shoot, I think she calls them. So that'd be a pretty good gig. I don't know if you're thinking about career yet yourself, but equine photographer. Maybe if I could go back and do things differently, that might be one I'd choose. What do you think?
I think it would be a lot of fun. I mean, I should be getting a camera for Christmas.
It's on the list, is it?
Yep, along with one other thing, a horse.
A horse?
A horse that you can ride.
Not just rub its belly, as you were telling me. Tell me that story again. I'm sure our listeners would like to hear the latest antic or trick from Jasper.
Yeah, so I made him lay down when he was rolling, and then he couldn't roll all the way because I hit my knee, and he kind of just sat there, and I kind of just, like, started scratching his belly, kind of, And then he did his little lip thing where he like moves his lip because it feels good to him. And he just sat there while scratching his belly. It was hilarious.
Before we start the show, I wanted to give you another update. I've heard from Debbie from Gentle Carousel, and she was talking about the horses that they were taking the minis to Greece, and everything is going really well there with their new horses. And in fact, one of them has been named the official mascot of the Athens International Airport. And she was telling me too that the former president of Greece came to the place where the horses are and spent 3-4 hours with his family with the therapy horses. So all is going well in Greece as we hear from Debbie. So that's good to hear. I'm sure we'll have her on the show again and she can give us some more updates. It's going to be a busy year for Magic and Hamlet this year, she tells me. Well, Jessica, I have another fun fact-filled show for you this time. We've got some good eats for you, including some unusual horse snacks from all around the world. And our Where Did That Come From segment is back this time with some everyday cliches or phrases that you might hear your parents or your grandparents say that refer to horses. And we'll tell you where those cliches came from. And that might be just something your parents don't know. And we'll introduce you to Carol Manchester from Wild Horse Feathers, which is an online store that sells all kinds of great gifts for horse-crazy kids. So listen closely to that one. And our good friend Carly is back to take you back in time to the year 1377 in medieval times, in fact, with a story about a frisky Frisian horse named Franz. That's all coming up, but first a message from one of our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Kelsey, and I like Schleich. Actually, I work at Schleich, where we make wonderful toy figurines, like the horses with braided manes. There are just so many to choose from. Did you know that each one is hand-painted? That's why they all look so great. Each one is special because it's so unique. Check out the beautiful Le Faisan Mare with a French braid, or the ornately braided Fell Pony Stallion. Oh, and what about the lovely Halfinger or Shire Mare? It's just so hard to decide who to play with, so I'll include them all. You can too. Just go to your local toy store or ask a parent to help you go online to schleich-s.com to find a store near you. You can also look at all of the other horses we make and even download cool apps or other fun activities. Don't forget to look in your Blaze magazine for the test to find out which Schleich horse is best for you and for our beautiful braids photo contest, where you could win $50 worth of braided manes horses from Schleich. Playing with Schleich horses is the best. Until next time, have fun horsing around.
And now it's time to go back in time with our Once Upon a Horse story. Carly is back with us again to tell a tale about a small war horse with a big heart. His name is Franz, and he became an unlikely jousting tournament champion.
There once lived a horse named Franz. In the year 1377, during the medieval era, there once lived a horse named Franz. He was a beautiful jet-black horse with a mane that flowed well past his neck. His magnificent curls brushed his front legs when he trotted. He lived in the Netherlands, a small country on the North Sea. Today, the Netherlands is also called Holland. Franz lived on a breeding farm in the province called Friesland, with many other big black horses like himself. He loved to run across the flat, grassy land of his home. He loved the nearby lake where a special tournament took place each year. People would come from far and wide to see who had the best war horses. During the medieval era, there were many invasions, so it was important for kingdoms to be prepared to protect their land and families at all times. The tournament was a way to practice for battle. "Franz and I are going to be tournament champions next year," a young man told his friend while watching Franz trot by. "Are you kidding?" the friend replied. That horse is far too small to carry a rider in all his armor into battle. A war horse needs to be big and heavy. Besides, in a joust, he won't have enough power to beat a heavier war horse. Franz stopped, perked up his ears, and turned toward the two men. You'll see, said the first man. Franz will follow in the footsteps of his ancestor, the great horse. Equus robustus, to be exact. Our Frisian horses are bred to be perfect war horses. Franz was young, but a wonderful example of a Frisian horse. Did you see how graceful he moves with his high steps? The young admirer said. He looks like he floats on air. He just needs to get stronger. Franz tossed his head and cantered off. He knew the men were speaking about him. He knew his battle training was about to begin. Franz weaved in and out while his rider swung his big sword. Franz charged toward another horse coming at him when his rider asked him to. Franz trusted his rider, and he knew that he was counting on him. They began training in full armor. The rider wore his protective chainmail, which was clothing made of metal, and a helmet and plate armor. Franz wore armor too. It weighed quite a lot. Franz became stronger and stronger. He could do everything in full armor. Well, almost everything. As amazing as he was, the only thing that Franz and his rider could not do was win a joust. They tried and they tried, but Franz was just not powerful enough to help his rider knock his opponent off a bigger horse charging at them. Joust after joust, Franz's rider was toppled. On tournament day, Franz was very excited as he watched the other horses arrive for the games. The young man came and got Franz from the pasture. He began to put on his armor. This is it, Franz, he said. This is your time to show what a Frisian can do. They trotted out onto the field to the cheer of the crowd. Franz amazed everyone with his speed and skill at all of the games. They scored the highest in each event, but it was now time for the final event, the joust. Franz could not be named the champion unless he could win the joust. He was determined. Franz's rider patted his neck and whispered, "We can do this, Franz." The cry went up and the horses started charging. Franz set his head and ran as hard as he could. He could feel the rider pushing him on. Then suddenly, Franz felt his rider lean to the left. He knew what his rider wanted. He dropped his shoulder and pushed his rider into the hit of the other jouster. It worked! The other rider fell to the ground. Franz was the tournament champion. Franz tossed his head and then trotted on, looking like they were floating on air. He looked big and strong, like a war horse.
Our next guest knows exactly what horsey kids want. Not only does she have three herself, but her business is all about horsey gifts for kids. Carol Manchester runs Wild Horse Feathers that sells all kinds of great stuff for horse-crazy kids. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about Wild Horse Feathers and what do you do?
Okay, Wild Horse Feathers is actually a pretty small company compared to what people think of it. We started the company about 20 years ago, and we started in the eaves of an old barn where I lived. And what was really convenient about that at that time is that because I had three small daughters that were very interested in horses, I could run the business out of the barn and still take care of them at the same time. I could sort of oversee everything that was going on. So it worked really well in the very beginning. I wear all the hats. I do all the creative work in the springtime and through the summer. We do all the photography in-house. We do all the designing in-house. There's a lot of late nights come August and September when we're getting ready for catalog production because we only do one catalog a year. Jack of all trades, master of none.
Hey, Carol, so what kinds of things, what kind of stuff is available through Wild Horse Feathers?
What we have tried to do is design a catalog for little girls who may or may not own a horse. So there's nothing in the catalog for horses, per se. Everything is actually for the young girls. Given that we've been around for 20 years, a lot of the young girls are now in their early to late 20s. so we've actually, in order to keep that customer base, we've started to modify our product line a little bit for older girls and young women. You know, we try to put out original designs, high quality and very fun for people, something that will pretty much always make them smile.
Yeah, they do. I am, as you said, we've worked together with Blaze and Wild Horse Feathers a long time. And I did, like you talked about, the photography, it's fantastic. And the products that you have are they're very different than you see other places. So a lot of creativity and passion, obviously, has gone into that.
What's new and what's the most popular?
That changes from year to year. I think our all-time most popular product is our Bits t-shirt. It is just a very graphic white tee with the Bits, a full bit design on the front, which was actually designed by one of my daughters. And she is actually the model in the picture of that t-shirt. This year, I think that our ponytail kits have been a big hit, where we've put together a small kit in a little tin can and has everything you need except for the ponytail, the horse's hair, to make a bracelet so that your parents wouldn't have to go running around trying to find the glue and the thread and the safety pin. It's everything's in there already, including the fittings to make two full bracelets. So I would say the Bits t-shirt overall, and just especially this year, is the ponytail kits.
You've got another product that I thought was really cool. Once my kids explained to me that it's not a pound sign, Dad. It's not a number sign. It's a hashtag. And
right.
The contest you ran in Blaze magazine about your custom hoodies, the hashtag ones. So you'd be best to explain that one, Carol.
Yeah, it was just an idea that I got early one morning, and I thought that probably most people under 24 would get it, and maybe a lot of people over 34 would not get it.
Yeah.
Just because it is such a contemporary a trending tool now, and it's so much fun. And we tried it as a Tuesday tea. Every Tuesday we have a special tea that's only $10. And we just put it out there for one day, a t-shirt for $10, and really had some hilarious hashtags come back. Including one, I think it said, "Daddy, please." Can I have a horse? Just some very funny ones, a lot of horses' names. But we did include it in the catalog, and it has been very successful and very fun to see what people would like to see on their shirt.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of them come in now from Blaze Kids and our readers. So we'll be passing those on to you shortly, too, to choose our winners. Carol, how long does it take to arrive? So you've placed the order, and how long do we need to wait?
Are you done?
10 months out of the year, we ship the same day.
Okay.
So depending, we're in Newport, Rhode Island, so depending if you are on the East Coast or the West Coast, it can take from 1 to 5 days.
Okay, good.
This time of year, with the amount of custom work that we're doing, right now it's approximately 3 to 5 days.
I think she needs out.
For it to go out, or...
For, depending on how much customization is there, if someone were to order a ponytail kit or to order like a lesson journal or something, that item would go out the same day.
I see. So plenty of time before the holidays. Anything,
yeah, for Christmas. But anything customized right now is about 3 to 5 days.
All right, great. So where does someone go to start shopping with Wild Horse Feathers?
My suggestion would be to go directly to our online boutique. All our products are online. You can shop there or give us a call, and we're sending out all our catalogs first class for the next couple weeks.
And what's the website?
It would be wildhorsefeathers.com.
Great. All right. Well, it's a busy time for you, I'm sure, right now. We appreciate
very
the time.
Busy time of year.
Yeah. Thanks for your time at this busy time, and we wish you all the best for the holidays.
Absolutely my pleasure, and I hope you all have a great holiday.
Hey, y'all, the American Quarter Horse Association rewards members for riding their horses. You heard me right. Rewards for just riding your horse, any breed, anywhere. Join the AQHA Horseback Riding Program today to start earning prizes from the AQHA's corporate partners just for spending time in the saddle. Visit them at AQHA.org to sign up today. That's AQHA.org.
Hey, Jessica, let's take our readers on a Tasty Treats World Tour in this installment of Good Eats. Let's start with our own dessert plates. If you lived in China, it might be almond cookies. Belgium waffles in Belgium, of course. Chocolate souffle in France. And doesn't mango sticky rice sound good? Find a Thai restaurant for that one. And a slice of apple strudel is how Germans sometimes finish off a meal. But you know by now that horses love tasty treats too. But did you know that horses from different parts of the world have cultural favorites just like their owners? They sure do, and here's what we discovered in the feed bins in our Tasty Treats World Tour. Take it away, Jessica.
In Australia, horses snack on sunflower seeds. In the Middle East, dates are a sweet treat for a quick boost of energy. Horses in France's wine regions enjoy grapes to leaves, stems, seeds, and skin are a healthy treat. In Iceland, horses eat fish. It's true. Salted herring provide vitamins and minerals. In Germany, there are plenty of pears to go around. Horses love them.
They sure do. And back here at home in North America, apples and carrots are still top of the list for equine favorite treats. But a lot of countries feed bananas to their horses as a regular snack. And think about this one. Peas are a popular treat. That's probably mostly in Asia. And here's a really surprising one. Coconuts, the white part, which is called the meat, and the oil, is a healthy snack for horses in the Philippines, just to name one of the many coconut countries. So for more unusual tasty treats for horses that live around the world, check out our last issue of Blaze magazine, our fall issue, number 42. It has a great map in it to show you where these horses live, a foodie and a geography lesson all in one. More appetizing horsey treat info in our next segment of Good Eats.
And now our friend Templeton Thompson singing her holiday hit, Happy Ye Holiday.
Christmas, and hoping that you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays. Well, the snow is softly falling on the pasture, and there's a holly wreath hanging on the barn. Jingle bells are jingling, lights are all a twinkling. Christmas time is coming to the farm. Yeah, I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas, and hoping that you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays. Yeah. Christmas tree is loaded up with presents, and the kid and me just love this time of year. There's no dream too big for dreaming, ain't nothing like the feeling when all the ones you love are gathered near. So I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas, hoping that you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays. Hey, happy ye holidays. Yeehaw!
We're back with our Where Did That Come From segment. If you're a regular listener, you know that we like to mix up our segments show to show. And this is another fun one. There are tons of little phrases in the English language that have their own special meaning, but literally make no sense if you don't know what they mean. They're called clichés, and tons of them come from the horse world. So, Jessica, what did you discover?
Let's start with this one. Have you ever heard anyone say, "You really get my goat"? You know, if they're mad or upset with you, the phrase comes from early horse racing days when goats were used to calm down nervous racehorses before the race. A goat was put into the stall with the anxious horse. "He's got my goat" means someone stole the goat and made the horse agitated again.
Good one. I've got one too. Have you ever heard someone say, "That's a wild goose chase"? In other words, going after a lost cause or something that you really have little chance of finding. Well, surprisingly, this saying had nothing to do with chasing wild geese. It's actually a kind of horse race, and the origin goes back to the 16th century in England. A lead horse would go off in any direction the rider chose, and then other riders had to follow at specific start times, like wild geese following their leader. So today, the saying means to take on a useless or hopeless quest.
And now you know where that came from.
More horsey cliches for you in future episodes of Blaze Kids Radio. For details about today's show, go to www.blazekidsradio.com, where you can find links, photos, and more info about our guests. And as always, we love your feedback. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Blaze Kids Mag. And for Jessica's Facebook page,
you can always find me on Facebook at Just Blaze Kids Radio.
And you can subscribe to Blaze Kids Magazine at www.blazekids.com. Many thanks to our sponsors, Schleich and the AQHA. And be sure to visit all of the other great shows on the Horse Radio Network at www.horseradionetwork.com.
And until next time, keep on blazing those trails.
Coach Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022, or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride. Welcome back, everyone, to the Thursday Horses in the Morning mashup. Well, who doesn't love a parade, especially a parade with hundreds of horses? Well, stay tuned for an insider's look at the 2014 Rose Bowl Parade with parade organizer Jeanette Collier, plus parade riders from the All-American Cowgirl Chicks and the Calizona Appaloosa Horse Club.
Bringing the news through hay or high water while using their tails as their own fly swatters. So sit on down and laugh till your poop, cause it's time again for Stable Scoop. Stable Scoop. Stable Scoop. Stable Scoop.
This is Glenn the Geek.
And this is Helena B., and you're listening to the Stable Scoop Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. Welcome to the show. We are so excited to be bringing you our annual Rose Parade episode today. It's something that Helena and I look forward to every single year.
I am really excited, and every year I sit in front of my television and I wave to people who couldn't possibly know that I'm waving at them.
That's right.
But I do it anyway.
That's right, because we've talked to most of them now over the past 5 or 6 years we've been doing this. We've talked to a lot of the groups that are in the parade, and every year they have some new groups, and every year they have some groups that they bring back.
They do, and it's a big deal to be invited to the Rose Parade. It's a very big deal, and you know, it's watching them come around the corner as the television cameras capture that critical moment. It gives a whole new meaning to what we're watching on television, knowing what these people and their horses do to prepare for that 5 seconds of camera time.
Yeah, there's a lot of work and effort that goes into everything that's involved with this. And of course, something else we're going to talk about today is Equist Fest, which is presented by Wells Fargo. That happens a couple days before. It happens on December the 29th at the Coliseum, where is it? At the Los Angeles Equestrian Center. And it's a show that's put on by all of the participants in the parade come out, and they put on a show for people who want to come out and watch. And that's very inexpensive. It's like $15 to go watch that presentation. And you get to see all of the people who are going to be in the parade, all the equestrian groups ahead of time. So that's kind of cool. If we lived in that area, I'd definitely be seeing that every year.
Yeah. You and me both.
Now, you're kind of excited for a reason today. And well, let's talk a little bit about who we have coming up on the show today. We have Jeanette Collier, who is the staff liaison to the Tournament of Roses Parade. She is here representing the Tournament of Roses committee. And she's going to be talking to us a little bit about everything from their end, from the parade end. And then we have a regular guest who we've had on every year and who are good friends of the Horse Radio Network. And that's Trish with the All-American Cowgirl Chicks, and who knows who she's going to have show up. Sadie usually joins her, who is her daughter, and Sadie is a real sweetheart who's been with the group for many, many years now.
Yeah.
And they've been in the parade for many, many years, and she's going to be on later in the show, but we have a new group we're going to talk to, and you're excited about this one.
I'm super excited. Yes, we're going to have Leslie Foxvogue on with us. She's from the Calzona Appaloosa Horse Club, and she's going to tell us about the Appies that are going to be in the parade this year. We're going to talk a little bit about the breed, which I'm particularly excited about because, as many of you know, I am the proud owner of an Appaloosa, Brody, Jess Brody.
He doesn't have one of those big, long Appaloosa names.
No. I gave him a name from a movie. His name was Brody.
Okay.
And I am now officially a horse freak, so I don't want to change his name because that's bad luck.
Uh-huh.
So I had to leave it as Brody. So then I had to give him an official name that somehow worked with the name he came with. So his official name, which has absolutely nothing to do with Appaloosas, is Bad Hat Harry, which comes from the movie Jaws.
Yes, it does.
That's some bad hat, Harry, is the line that Chief Brody says in the movie.
Oh, that's a good correlation there. Boy, you worked at that one.
Well, it's my favorite movie of all time. And so I'm just constantly going around pulling quotes out of Jaws. So I thought it was appropriate.
God, that movie's like 40 years old now, isn't it?
And I'll tell you what, if anybody could take me out shark hunting, it would be Brody. He can go fox hunting and he can go shark hunting.
Is he still alive?
Who?
Who played Brody?
Roy Schreider?
Yeah, I guess he's still alive.
No, he just died.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I know. I was really bummed out about that.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't realize that. Yeah, I didn't know if he was still alive or not. I knew he had to be getting up there.
No, he, well, I don't think he just, I don't think he died from, as Grace says, oldness. I think he had something. That's what she says.
Oldness.
Yeah, he was only 75. He said he had,
He did, 75.
Yeah, 75.
Yeah, I knew he had to be because he was like in his 40s maybe when that movie was made. I mean,
yeah, but 75 is young these days.
That's
it's like,
true.
I don't even say, someone's old until they're like in their
Jaws 90s. Chasing him around. I mean, you know, that takes a few years off.
Yeah, or just being in Hollywood will take a few years off. Even though it looks like they give you years, they actually take years away.
Well, this will be fun. So we're going to be talking to all of these people about the Rose Parade here coming up in just a minute. We're going to waive doing a Tack and Habit product. We did a whole show on product last week. If you missed it, go back and check out our last episode that we put out over Thanksgiving week. We did the Equestrian Collections, fifth annual buyer guide. So if you missed that, go check that out. But this week, it's all about the Rose Parade. So why don't we get started with Jeanette Collier, who works for the Tournament of Roses Committee. Well, hi, Jeanette. Thank you so much for joining us this year and representing the committee and all of the people over at the Rose Parade. We appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Now, is this your first year helping out with the equestrian side of things?
No, actually, I've been with the Tournament of Roses for 19 seasons now.
Oh, wow. Okay. You're an experienced white coat then at this point.
I try to be.
So tell us this year what we can expect a little bit different, or, you know, what's going on as far as the equestrian side of the things are concerned.
We are very excited, seeing as that the equestrian units are the root of the Rose Parade and how we started back in 1890 with our first Tournament of Roses, the Valley Hunt Club. And we have an exciting lineup of groups this year. We have 16 exceptional groups, including the Budweiser Clydesdales. That's something different. We haven't had them for a while, so we're excited to have them back.
Something you very seldom see anywhere is the Budweiser Clydesdales in the same parade as the Wells Fargo group of the quarter horses. You very seldom see them in the same place.
Exactly. And this year, instead of what spectators are used to seeing them pulling the St. Louis float, they are actually highlighted as an equestrian unit. And they will be carrying our Tournament of Roses president, Scott Jenkins.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes. Cool. Very good. And now I'm looking at the list here, and I see some of the regulars we're going to have on later in the show, Trish from the All-American Cowgirl Chicks. We're going to have them on a little bit later in the show. And I know they've been doing this for years and years and years. We're also going to have on the Calzonia Appaloosa Horse Club, and I believe they've been doing it for years too, haven't they?
Yes, they have. In fact, if you haven't seen the All-American Cowgirl Chicks, you definitely want to tune into RFD TV and watch their Equestrian Fest show. Their riding skills and trick riding are amazing. Those girls can do what I've seen no other group do.
That's for sure. That's for sure. And then the Appaloosa Club, we're going to have them on later. This will be the first time we talk to them, but I know they've been in the parade. I'm looking for who might be new this year. Are there any new groups?
For the first time, we have the Norwegian Fjord Horse, and that breed is just recently being introduced to the United States. They are more of a stocky looking horse, beige in color, and have white strips on the
yep.
side of their mane. And what makes them very distinct is down the sides of the white on their mane is a black strip, which almost makes it look like a mohawk. But the horse is very strong, and it's very exciting to see them in the parade. They're actually known for ice sled racing.
Yep, that's right. And then they also drive. They drive and ride. Are there going to be both, you think, in their unit?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, there will be. So we're excited that they're going to introduce the breed on January 1st.
And there's actually a complimentary event that goes along with the actual parade itself called the Equest Fest. I'm imagining that a lot of these breeds and these equestrian groups will be featured there as well. Can you tell us a little bit about Equest Fest?
Yes, EquestFest is a showcase of all of the equestrian units in the parade. Obviously, down the parade route, they're very limited on what they can show and do in terms of maneuvering and quadrille and any kind of inner spacing. So EquestFest lets them highlight what they do best, and it is a show over at the Los Angeles Equestrian Center, and that will be on December 29th from noon to 2. And they will get a glimpse of all of the equestrian units, plus a couple bonuses, and get to see all of them strut their stuff.
Well, now, I know that that's always a big show, and it's a heck of a lot of fun. And that is a kind of a lead up. It gets everybody warmed up and ready to head out to the highway at some gun god hour and get lined up for the parade, which is another thing that the equestrian unit... That people don't realize the equestrian units have to do. It's not something that they show up at 7 o'clock in the morning, get lined up, and go. You're there the night before. And I know that one of the things that you guys really do take into consideration is safety. And we actually had on our horsemanship radio show the one farrier who's been Master Farrier Ada Gates, who's been involved with the parade for years and years and years, making sure the horses are sound and that kind of thing. You guys put a lot of emphasis on that.
Yes, definitely. Safety is our number one priority and what we strive to accomplish. All of the groups are checked by our farriers. Ada Gates is an amazing lady who's been doing this for many, many years, a pioneer in her field, especially as a woman. We have all of the equestrian units staged the night before. So all of the groups come in by 8 p.m. on the 31st. They spend the night in an underpass on a freeway, actually, until parade morning, and all of them are lined up and ready to go about 2 hours before they step onto Colorado Boulevard.
So they're lined up 2 hours ahead of time, and the parade is 3 hours. So they're in their saddles, or you know, getting ready, having to be on, quote unquote, for 5 hours.
Yes, roughly 5 to 6 hours, because even though the parade route is 5.5, there's about 5.5 miles, that is, there's about a mile on either side, the staging and the post-parade area, before they can actually get off their mounts and rest for the rest of the day.
Whew. This sounded like a lot of work, Alina.
Yeah.
It's like
something you don't really like.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be volunteering for this one anytime soon.
You make a better spectator.
Yeah, I think I'd, yeah, I could do
you're
the announcing.
You're a good cheerleader.
Yeah. You can do that for a shorter period of time in a comfy seat.
with no potty breaks.
Exactly. Oh, see, that's the other thing that would mess me up.
That.
It'd be like, I can't go 3 hours without going to the bathroom. I never thought about that. You're right.
Yeah, we have the groups make sure that they're very hydrated the day before, where they're taking in a lot of electrolytes, a lot of fluids.
And not so hydrated that day.
That day.
Not hydrated that day, especially not with a lot of coffee in those early morning hours.
Oh, that's rough.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that. That's true of everybody that's in the parade, I guess, right? Bands and all that stuff.
Definitely true. Our bands and our float riders. So that's where something like Depends may come in handy.
So
don't laugh. It's true, though. You do what you got to do.
So I was picturing that there's a section that nobody sees on TV that's just lined with porta potties about halfway down that nobody sees, that then everybody just breaks off and comes back together. I guess that doesn't happen, huh?
Well, we do have a lineup of porta potties just before they step off onto Orange Grove off of Del Mar. It's their last potty break stop where they can go ahead and use that porta potty because they're not going to see one for the next about 3 hours.
I'd never be able to do this. I guess I'll have to cross it off my bucket list. It's funny.
It's a very well-oiled machine, but the equestrian units, they're so excited. I think adrenaline takes them throughout the parade route. There's nearly a million spectators that line Colorado and Orange Grove, and I think the excitement takes them through. So I think you'd be able to do it.
Now, who covers it as far as TV coverage this year?
Well, we have several different networks. All the major networks, also our cable channels, covered as well. Travel, Hallmark Channel. And obviously locally, KTLA covers it as well. So we have a broad partnership of.
And of course, doesn't HGTV usually do coverage every year because they're talking about the flowers all the time?
Definitely. HGTV, yep. They do an in-depth coverage of the behind-the-scenes of all of the units, and they do pre-parade interviews, which is great. A lot of them do highlight the equestrian units' pre-parade coverage.
Yeah. Well, this is very exciting. We can't wait. We watch it every year, and we're looking for the equestrian units every year, and we're so excited to see the group that you have put together for this year. And we hope everybody has a very safe and happy parade, and that the weather is beautiful.
Well, we have ordered wonderful weather for sunny Southern California, so we don't want to hear the R word. But thank you definitely for having me on behalf of Dr. Stacy Hauser and the Equestrian Committee. We're very excited.
Well, congratulations again. We'll look forward to seeing you.
Thank you. Have a safe ride.
This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
Have you heard of a yeast called Saccharomyces boulardii? It's a type of probiotic that benefits your horse's digestive tract. Often referred to as S. boulardii, it works in several different ways. One unique property of S. boulardii is that it supports the stimulation of the enzymes found in the intestinal lining. These enzymes help your horse digest starches and sugars in the small intestine. When the sugars and starches are more completely digested, fewer of them escape into the hindgut where they can ferment and cause imbalances that may lead to colic, diarrhea, and laminitis. Saccharomyces boulardii is found in Nalox Advanced, made by Kentucky Performance Products. Nalox Advanced contains a blend of yeast, fermentation solubles, and stomach buffers. These ingredients work together to maintain your horse's digestive tract in peak condition. Nalox Advanced is recommended for horses of all ages and stages and is fed on a daily basis.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
Up next, we have Leslie Foxvogue of the Calizona Appaloosa Horse Club. Leslie knows all things about Appaloosas, but in particular, she's going to talk to us about the Calizona Appaloosa Horse Club and their participation in this year's Rose Parade. So welcome to Leslie. Welcome to the show. Tell us all about the Appies and how amazing they're going to be in the parade this year.
Well, we're excited. This is our third appearance. We've been in the parade in 2010 and 2012, and we're honored to be one of the 16 or 17 equestrian groups in this year's upcoming 2014 Tournament of Roses Parade. Our group is centered on celebrating the Native American Indian traditions of the horse parade, and we wear the Native American Indian traditional regalia, trappings, all hand-beaded, colorful, that are the tradition of the Nez Perce primarily, as they're the ones that their dreams came true with the fruition of the breed, and we're trying to carry their dreams forward. And we believe as Calzona and across the United States, there's a wide Appaloosa enthusiast, let's say congregation, if you will, or group, that makes sure that the Appaloosa stays in the forefront of the equestrian industry.
Is that the mission of the group, is to promote the breed and its uses?
That's one of the, club
collection
missions.
Of enthusiasts.
Sure. We want to share the Appaloosa with not only the public, but within ourselves, and but just making sure that the breed grows and continues to be one of the leading breeds, along with the quarter horse and the Arabians and thoroughbreds. But it's an interesting breed. It's family-oriented, versatile. The Appaloosa can do many things. You know, we're not just a Western cowboy ranch horse. We have hunters, we have jumpers and dressage and trail and mounted shooting. I mean, the Appaloosa can do anything you ask it to.
Well, this is that's a really good point, because I've always associated the Appaloosa breed with the coat pattern, and obviously with the quarter horse stock, and I know nothing about bloodlines and breeding, but as a layperson, I've always associated the breed with their coat pattern, not really giving much credit to their disposition. But now, having one at home and have fallen hopelessly and madly in love with him, I do often wonder if the Appaloosa's disposition goes along with, you know, the gene pool that also creates their beautiful coat patterns. Tell us a little bit about their disposition and how that makes them so versatile.
Well, the Nez Perce, you know, fell in love not only with their spotted coat pattern and selectively bred for it, but documentation and history also cites that they thoroughly enjoyed the disposition and all of the different uses, and that's how they won some of their battles, were because of their very talented horses, when you read that in some of the historical literature. And further on, in 1938, a group of horsemen got together and founded the Appaloosa breed and founded the breed registry. So there were particular stallions that were chosen as the originators in the stallion registry that, you know, more or less founded what we know today as the breed. So those lineages have carried through to the Appaloosa and throughout the registry, and all the horses that are registered can be traced back some way or another to these founding stallions. But I enjoy the breed because it is great with kids. It's very talented. They're personable. If you ever get in a sticky situation, they are patient. Sometimes, you know, out there in the world, people feel the Appaloosas are a stubborn breed, or for some reason that seems to be the perception when you talk to some people at, let's say, an expo. But there's always exceptions to the rule, so there could be one or two that might be stubborn. But in general, they are a well-rounded and very versatile and very soft, I like to say soft-minded breed. And that's what we love about the Appaloosa horse, besides their coat pattern.
I'd have to say that as you're using these adjectives to describe the breed, I'm getting really excited, and I have to like keep my mouth shut, because so many of those descriptive words are true. The soft-mindedness, the patience, which could be construed as stubbornness. It's really, they are a thinking horse, or at least mine is, but he's a patiently thinking horse. I can see how they would in general be great for getting out of sticky situations.
Well, they're going to have to be patient to put up with all the crap you guys put all over them. My goodness. Jeez.
That is so true. We just finished this past weekend, Sunday night. We were in one of the next most famous parades. We were in the Hollywood Christmas Parade and went for a ride about 3.5 miles.
Is that your warm-up? Is that your warm-up for Rose
Parade?
Well,
it was our first time in this parade.
Yeah.
And it being at night, it was very different for all of us. The horses, again, we couldn't have been prouder. And we're able to take these horses not only across a red carpet or through flash bulbs and bright lights and the hoops and hollers of the crowd, but you think on a trail ride, you have to go over through, you know, logs, very tight circumstances. I mean, I trail ride with all of my show horses. So I take my show horses not only through parades, but through trail rides and lots of different obstacles. And they just have the patience and they enjoy it. You know, that's the other thing I like about the breed is They seem to enjoy what they're doing, you know, not that other breeds don't. I'm not, you know, and my enthusiasm is for the Appaloosa more than any other breed, but I board and handle other breeds, and I just like the way that the Appaloosa is interested in what it's doing.
Now, one of the things we haven't talked about yet, obviously you have the Native American costumes and fringe and things hanging all over these horses, so they have that to get used to. One of the things we haven't talked about yet is, do you do anything special shoe-wise for the Rose Parade or any of the parades you do?
Yes, of course. Each parade is different that we participate in, and there are shoeing requirements specifically for the Tournament of Roses. They ask for borium to be on the shoes or a special rubber shoe. When we go to the orientation, we're given the strict instructions, and then there is a farrier, an expert farrier, that actually observes all of the groups at the Equest Fest and makes sure that we are prepared, and sometimes even in the formation area, they will spot check the horses to make sure that there's borium nails or borium welded or the special rubber shoes. But horses also can go barefoot. They do have a barefoot waiver. But if we have shoes on, then that's a non-slip type of surface.
Right.
We have to, you know, go down some slicky pavement, down a little hill after the corner of Colorado and Orange Grove. So they want to make sure that everybody remains safe. That's a big concern by the tournament, and we really appreciate that.
So we ask everybody this almost every year. What is it like for you the first time you turned onto Colorado?
Well, riding my Appaloosa horse was not the first time necessarily I personally had turned the corner, because I've been involved in the parade for over 35 years.
Oh, wow.
Working with the Rose Parade floats, but being on the horse was entirely different. It's been a dream come true for these three times, or two, and now this one, that we get to participate. But seeing the excitement on my co-riders' faces was what excited me the most. I kind of knew a little bit about what was coming, but watching them and seeing the crowd and hearing the cheers, they were more excited than I was. I was excited on their behalf, not only on my own, for being able to participate in the parade.
Wow, cool. And what will you guys do at the festival the couple days before on December 29th?
Oh, sure. That's the Equest Fest.
Yep.
Typically, we're a group that is not like a drill team. We're not a performance-based group, but we have developed a routine to some Native American Indian music so that we can perform, and it is a little bit of a drill routine, but typically that is not our forte. Our forte is parading straight down the street. We're not like the cowgirl chicks who can do, you know, Roman jumps and everything on their horses, but for the Equest Fest, we will have 12 riders and some other dancers in our performance pattern.
Well, we are so looking forward to seeing you in all of your regalia during the parade. We'll be watching, so be sure to wave, okay?
Oh, of course. And we all of our members say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Oh, that's my new
You
favorite.
Need to write that down there, Helena.
Happy
you could
new
use
year.
That
Have
one.
Have an Happy New Year and an Happy Christmas.
Well, this is terrific. Are you excited now?
Helena, always. I've been excited for months ever since we received our congratulation invitation.
Well, Helena's going to be looking for her invitation next year to bring hers out, okay?
Of course.
I'm going to bring mine out. We'll practice. We'll do two circles around the commons here in Little Compton.
Well, hopefully you can convince the tournament that we should be in again. I know that the competition to participate in the parade is very tight. And we do apply every year. So we'll cross your fingers in that you get to ride with us sometime.
I would. I'd
Except
ride my
we
horse
just
out
talked
just to get there.
We did just talk about the fact that you can't go to the bathroom for like a day because you're stuck on the parade route, and that ruled me out. But Helena's still young enough; she could do this.
Yes.
Yeah. At least I like to think I am.
Well, young or old, I would say the average member right now riding down in our group is between 50 and 60.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it is a little bit of an older group.
Uh-huh, it is, yeah.
Yeah. Well, very good. Well, we look forward to seeing you there. Thank you so much, Leslie, for joining us today.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
With Christmas season fast approaching, it's time to start planning a custom gift that will last for many years to come. Visit our friends at ezsignsonline.com and browse their unique website for their many custom sign options and styles.
With affordable prices for customized signs starting at $39.95, your holiday gift giving just got easier. Their step-by-step online sign ordering process allows you to choose only the sign options you want and see all the pricing up front. From horse farm entrance signs, vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs to stall nameplates, and much, much more for every horse owner.
They ship to every state in the U.S., so take advantage of an additional 10% off coupon to all Horse Radio Network listeners. Simply mention HRN13 when ordering. That's HRN13. A $75 order minimum for discount. Cannot be combined with other discounts or coupons. Free shipping also applies to most sign orders, so see the website for details.
Place your order early to allow plenty of time for Christmas delivery. Check out the website today at ezsignsonline.com. That's ezsignsonline.com or call them at 1-800-640-8180. That's 1-800-640-8180. Well, next up, we have a regular guest that joins us all the time, Trish and Sadie. Trish is the mom, Sadie's the child, and I think she had this child riding tricks on horses on probably little tiny minis by the time she was about 2 months old. But
hey, that's how Gracie started.
They are with the All-American Cowgirl Chicks, a fantastic organization. Of course, if you watch RFD TV at all, you will see them on there. They have their own TV show. On the road doing rodeos all across the country. They are a trick riding group, and I did get to meet them at the, I forget which event it was. It might have been Briarfest or one of those, but it was at the Kentucky Horse Park. I got to meet and hang out with them for a couple of hours, and they're all a lot of fun. The girls are terrific, and got to see them perform in person, and they are just so exciting, and they are excellent at what they do, and they strive to be excellent at what they do. They're one of the best groups like this in the country. Traveling all the time and a true delight. If you have not heard them on our show before, they're going to make your day right now.
Howdy, everybody. I'm Bob Tallman. Welcome to Fort Worth, Texas. Now, the higher they jump, the better they buck, the better you ride, more money to win. It's rodeo time, ladies.
Hey, I'm real proud of the life I'm living. We saddle up, girls, I will keep on giving. Rolling down the road to the next show. It's a big thing we call the rodeo. They ride bulls and broncs from Fort Worth to Austin. My cowboy friends, yeah, they're awesome. It's where the cowgirl chicks ride for the red, white, and blue. It's the rodeo show. Show. Come on out to the rodeo. You got your wild, wild west kicking up kid dust. Work real hard, yeah, we give our best. You got your bucking shoots, Justin boots. Saturday night, yeah, that's what we do. Made in the USA, the American way. Hey, it's the rodeo world. Now, I've seen country with a kick of rock. Yeah, I've been to Nashville and had my knock, so I came home where I belong, back to Texas where my roots are strong. And I admit my heart got broke, so I cowgirled up, had my mind made up.
Well, hi, Trish, and welcome back to the show. It's so good to always talk to you around the holidays.
Thank you so much, and I can't believe it's already here.
I know. Right? It's been a year since we talked to you last, and you've been on the road a ton this year. Tell us about your 2013.
I know. You know, the rodeo schedule, anybody in the cowboy cowgirl world in the rodeo arena, it's 24/7. Of course, this time is a real busy time. Everybody's headed up to Las Vegas for the NFR. We're flying out tomorrow. Going to be with some great sponsors, great contestants, just some awesome people that make this business, you know, stronger and stronger. We work every weekend. We're on the road. A lot of people don't understand we really don't have any off time because as soon as we get back from Las Vegas, we are headed to the Tournament of Rose Parade in Pasadena, California.
And, of course, that's why we have you on today is to talk a little bit about that, and we're going to get to that. Do you guys actually perform at the National Finals Rodeo in Vegas?
Well, we've already sent some trucks and trailers to Las Vegas, so they're ahead of us. And we're not going to be actually performing at the rodeo at the Thomas and Mack, but we're going to be performing at the Mandalay Bay. We've got, you know, a lot of sponsors that we're so blessed to have throughout the year. We're going to be doing autograph sessions for them, doing demonstrations, letting people come and touch the horses. The horses are the backbone of our group, of this All-American Cowgirl Chick team. And, you know, it's always kind of up in the air who's going to make it, who's going to make cut and who's not. The horses are rescue horses, so it's a real exciting time for some of these past owners to come by and see what these horses have formed into. So we're going to be busy, but we're going to be having a blast, and the rodeo is going to be outstanding this year.
And I know you guys, you told me that you had some new girls join the team this year. How's that going?
You know, every spring and fall, we have training for the All-American Cowgirl Chicks, and basically it's to give other girls out there an opportunity to either mount a great mount, you know, improve their horsemanship, get to be on television, get to experience the rodeo way of life, because you know as well as I do, if you own a horse, it's responsibility 24/7. And we travel with 14 to 16 horses up and down the road, and we are our own caretakers, own truck drivers. We scoop the poop. We do it all.
So, we scoop the poop. You don't just look pretty. You walk the walk. You talk the talk and walk the walk.
You know, it's not all glamorous. It's great. You know, J.W. Stoker, the legendary trick rider, trick for our mentor, he says, you always go in there looking great, you know, look your best. But I'll tell you what, you come out sweaty, you come out tired, and you come out dirty. And if you've done that, then you've done your job and you really tried hard. So a lot of these girls get a rude awakening of really what it takes to make it in this business. And that's really kind of my responsibility to keep this new generation on the ball with responsibility and make for sure that technology doesn't take over our brains. And you just can't Google something to get out of something. You got to get up, you got to pull your sleeves up, get dirty and make it work.
Well, I got to tell you, I witnessed that too, Helena, because I met them at the Kentucky Horse Park one time, and they were there in all of their beautiful outfits cleaning the stalls. So I did witness that.
Well, I think we even had where your horse buzzers, where we trimmed the manes and tails, and I think we had our curling irons plugged in right beside that.
You did, you actually.
So, awesome. You know, you just do what it takes. And, you know, if you're not trying, we want to be realistic. And if you're in the rodeo business, it is a reality of really what it takes. You know, there's no scripts. You're dealing with time bombs. Horses, you know, they can turn. You got to be on your toes, and you got to, especially for trick riding. I mean, that's a lost and dying art, and it's dangerous. So we try to give our best in that leadership.
Now, you are spending a fair amount of time preparing for one of the biggest events of your year, of most people's year, actually, is the Rose Parade.
Oh, man.
I wouldn't imagine you're doing a whole lot of trick riding when you're actually on the parade route, but what kinds of things will you be doing as you're going through the parade this year?
You know, mainly just displaying our horses, giving them the credit and the spotlight for that day. There's so many people out there that just support this event. And, you know, everybody's at home. All the businesses are closed and everybody's with their family. So what a great opportunity for us to be, you know, with RFD-TV. They've got a huge event. And I want to let y'all know, y'all probably already know about it. It's called The American. It's a $2 million payout. It's going to happen on March 2nd and March 3rd. At the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. So, you know, it's God, it's got everybody talking. Everybody's excited about it. And a lot of these champions are coming out of retirement to compete against each other in this wonderful event. So we're going to be shoulder to shoulder with RFE-TV, sporting our red, white, and blue. And we will be doing a little bit of trick riding, you know, when we go down the parade route. Not a whole lot, because it's going to be on concrete. Of course, we've got bands in front of us and all the great other floats. But it'll be a great event. And we perform at the Equusfest as well, at the L.A. Equestrian Center. So we will be doing our Roman riding and trick riding there.
Now, I got to ask you, does it smell as good as it looks on that parade with all the flowers?
It is absolutely gorgeous. It really is. You have to truly be there in person to see how beautiful it is.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, you guys, I remember last year you were standing up. I saw some of the girls, at least that when they were on TV, they were standing up in the stirrups. Do they do that the whole 5 miles?
They do.
Oh my God.
7.5 miles, 3 hours. And, you know, like we talked about last year, Glenn, you know, when we go in to the parade to set up, we have to be loaded in on that highway by midnight. So we sleep on the highway in our makeup, uniform. We touch it up at 4 o'clock in the morning, get the horses off the trailers, get them all prepped, and be waiting in line to prance down that row and be proud of what we've accomplished.
I got to tell you both something that was a chuckle during the I was sick on Thanksgiving, so I ended up watching the McDonald's parade out of Chicago.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of horse groups, but there was this emblem they painted on the middle of the road that had the logo of the parade, and it was very colorful. None of the horses would walk over it. They all went to the edge of the road. So all of these drill teams and things, the horses would all just separate. They would dance. They would not touch this thing on the road. The carriages all tried to avoid it. I mean, it turned out to be a chuckle all morning long watching these horses. I don't imagine yours would have a problem with that.
No.
When you're dealing with horses, and we do run every weekend, you think they'd be bomb-proof. But stuff like that, you never know what's going to make them, you know, flight or you know, get nervous. So you have to be on top of your game, even in the parade, because all those people are down there on the road spilling out in the aisles, and you sure don't want to, you know, hurt anybody. But I'll tell you what, it looks pretty, but logically, sometimes you have to think of safety first. And, boy, we've been there. We're still learning. But we never take anything for granted. We don't take our hands off our reins, I can tell you that. We don't ever get into a comfort zone.
Smart
now,
move.
When do you start planning? Obviously, you guys have all kinds of costumes that you can use for whatever gigs you're riding in. When do you start planning your Rose Parade costume for yourselves and for your horses? Obviously, they match. But
yeah, as soon as we head back to Texas, I'm, you know, going into the office and I'm laying down on paper what we're going to be doing for next year. I just live, eat, and breathe trying to come up with something different and creative. And, of course, we'll always be red, white, and blue. But this year we've come up with, we've got Tartar Farm and Ranch that have come out with a peak equipment, ranching equipment, to honor breast cancer survivors. And so this is going to be really, really fun for us and an honor to display the pink and black, to be tough enough to wear pink and to give those people hope that they're tough enough to beat this disease.
Oh, cool. So something a little different this year.
Yeah, black and pink. We'll always have our red, white, and blue for our troops. So I've got a lot of girls that are going to be, you know, half of us are going to be in black and pink and half of us are going to be in red, white, and blue.
How nerve-wracking is it for the new girls who it's their first time, you know, I realize they do events and they do events with large crowds and things in stadiums, but still walking down that parade route with millions of people there is a whole different experience. How nerve-wracking is that for the new girls?
You know, sometimes I have to, I'm the nurse, I'm the, you know, counselor, I'm the mom, I'm everything, and I'm the coach on the road. And to keep all these girls on the same level, and, you know, sometimes it's like you're going to throw up before you're going to go out there, because it is an art track. You want to, you know, you're going to be on national television, you want to do a great job, and you want to look your best, and not having a whole lot of sleep, that's kind of hard to pull off sometimes. But I have some great girls, and they've just got great hearts. So, you know, sometimes I have to take a chill pill and just sit back and breathe a little bit, have your prayer, go out there. It is what it is, and just do our best and hang on. So they're going to have a great experience. A lot of people, you can't explain what it's like to be in the Tournament of Rose Parade. It's just unexplainable. So they're going to have the time of their life, I guarantee it. And they're going to be on a great horse.
Well, yeah, you don't want to be the one that falls off or out of the saddle on national TV. You just don't want to be that one.
That's my job. Yeah. Just get me on national TV, yes. And I'll be the scapegoat for every pro rider out there. If somebody has to take one from the team, I'll do it. I do it anyway.
That's right.
So just throw some sparkles on me. I could be like an honorary All-American Cowgirl chick.
Well, Trish, I wanted to tell everybody that we're going to play a beautiful song of yours. You did a holiday song. You did a version, a cover of Santa Baby, and we're going to play that out of the show today. So we want everybody to listen to the very end of the show. You'll hear Trish's version of Santa Baby, which is excellent, by the way, Trish.
Thank you so much for playing that. I appreciate that.
No problem. Well, now we have to talk to Sadie. We've talked to Sadie almost every year now, so let's at least check in with her for a minute or two.
You bet. Here she is. Hey, how are y'all?
All right.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great.
Now, what's new in your life? Married with 12 kids yet?
No. Not especially, and that's not a bad thing, but that's not what I'm doing right now.
Hard to keep her schedule with 12 kids.
I know, that's true.
12 horses.
Well, same thing. 12 horses, 12 kids. You know,
I figured with all these hot rodeo guys, one of these years she's just going to be like, oh, I'm married now. I'm not doing this anymore.
No, that's
not how it goes. See, clearly he's a horse husband and not a horse person, because it just, the intensity level of your horsey stuff gets higher when you get married. You don't stop doing it. You do more of it, because
exactly.
Now you have an enabler.
They gotta love my horses before they love me.
See, that's the problem, Sadie. There's where we're having.
See, he calls it a problem. We call it just life.
That's true.
I agree with you. It's a girl thing, I guess. I don't know.
How many years will this be for you in the Rose Parade?
It'll be our 10th year, so it'll be my 10th year as well.
Wow, you started young, girl.
I know. Mom, she just threw me up there, and we just kept on riding. I haven't quit since.
You had to be one of the youngest riders ever in the Rose Parade back 10 years ago.
Yes, sir. And then my little sister actually beat me on that one, because she came in a couple years later. I set the bar, well, then she set it a little higher.
So, Sadie, do you still enjoy doing this? You still enjoy doing the trick riding and everything?
Yes, sir. And I don't think there will be a day that I won't. We've been home, and of course, we're getting ready for the NFR, and we're getting ready for Rose Bowl, and then right after that's the American. So these are kind of like our lull times, and you're sitting at home, and I saw Mom the other day. We were driving home from work. I said, I'm just ready to go back on the road. and she said, well, it's only been about a week, maybe two. And I said, yeah, exactly. I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to get back out there. Now, do you still get, for doing this as long as you have and for loving it as much as you do, you still get nervous before you go on?
Most definitely. And the moment that I won't get nervous is probably a bad thing. You got to be a little bit of nervous. You never know what the horses are going to do. You never know how it's going to work out, if they're going to get spooked or shy from something. And horses are just like us. I have my bad days. They have their bad days as well. And, you know, and it's funny. Horses know, they're so smart. You know, they know when the big show is. And they get nervous, too. They get antsy in the back, and they want to do a good job for you, and they're ready to get their treats in the back of the trailer. I still get nervous every time. Rose Parade, most definitely, just because it's an awesome feeling. And once you hit down Colorado Boulevard, it's something you can't explain. And it's a different experience, because you see more people or you see something new, and you've got one of those things, the blimps up above your heads. And I mean, they've got everything you can look at, and hot dogs and coffee. And
now,
it's a great thing. And then, you know, obviously, all the football fans.
It's really humbling, too. I know sometimes when we're out fox hunting and the field comes upon a paved road and we all come out of the woods and you hear, you know, the hoofbeats hitting the pavement, and you feel like you're part of this big parade. And there's
right.
you know, they're spectators. There are a lot of people, maybe obviously not the millions like you guys have, but, you know, you got people out watching and you feel so humbled to be a part of this group of special horses and riders and all the work that goes into it. It's exactly. It's like and exhilarating that's and incredibly humbling at the same time.
Yes, it is. And that's what people, you know, like, or the new girls or anybody that comes up here and asks, you know, how does it feel? And that's about the best that I can explain it, just how you did. It is the most humbling experience. And there's no words to explain or express at all when you come down Colorado Boulevard because of that reason. You see people, but most of all, you see your horses sitting there, and they've worked so hard all year long. This is the time for them to be, you know, what is the word I'm looking for? Not just a representation of just our Western heritage, but they're representing what they've put their whole heart and effort through this whole year. And it's not about the cowgirl chicks. I mean, yes, we've made it far, but we would not be here if it wasn't for these animals. And this is their time to shine. This is our time for our horses to shine.
Yeah, I bet you get a little choked up as you come around that corner.
Oh, yes. And especially when you're waiting in line, because you've got the floats and the bands, and then we're in a separate line, we're in the equestrian line, and they kind of spill us all in at one time. And you see some of these floats up there that, you know, they're absolutely beautiful. Everything is completely natural. There's so much work that goes into the Tournament of Rose Parade that nobody knows. They start January, February, making just the design, and then they go into doing this. I mean, they have all the every T is crossed and every I is dotted, and it's amazing. And you see all the floats and you see all their preparation, and you look at yours, and it's just being a part of something so big and so wonderful with those people, and to be at that level with those people, it is a humbling experience. It's a privilege to be a part of,
not to mention the 50 million people watching at home. So
that, don't remind me, that's I'm always afraid I got a bug in my teeth or something. They got some high definition cameras. I'm not used to that.
Well, we'll make sure to watch for that when you go by.
Oh, okay? No, so, just don't look. Close your eyes.
Thank you, Sadie. Tell your mom thank you so much for joining us again this year, and best of luck at the NFR and the Rose Parade. Rose Parade. And, we'll wave to you, okay?
Well, thank you, and don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll update you on everything we got. It's at Cowgirl Chicks, and be ready for the American coming soon in 2014.
And you guys still on RFD as well?
We sure are. Every Tuesday night at 8:30.
All right. Cowgirlchicks.com is where you can find their schedule for everything they do, and you can see all of their pretty pictures.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you very much for
Thank you, guys.
Us.
Thanks to both of you.
Bye-bye.
We'll wait
Bye-bye.
For you.
Bye. Okay, yeah, do that.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, as did I promise, right? Did they not make your day when they come on, Trish?
They're
and Sadie?
Just so uplifting. It's true. I know. I think, oh, yeah, how much more can we know, seriously, about the Rose Parade? And every year they do it to me. I get so excited, so inspired.
Yes, and they are that way in person, and they're as bubbly and fun all the time. They're just like that. They've got that high-energy show, and they bring that all the time.
But it's not too much. Fun. It's not an overwhelming.
No, it's very Southern sweet, too. You know?
Type of energy. Yeah. It's the kind that pulls you in. It doesn't intimidate
yep.
you.
Yep. Oh, I don't know. The way they hang under the horses sometimes going about 90 miles an hour intimidates me a little. So I have to be honest.
Oh, come on, Glenn. Get over yourself. You can do it.
No. And nor am
little,
I going to try.
You know what the secret is? I'll tell you right now. The secret? Glitter. Glitter has
it?
Magic powers.
Oh, okay. That's
yeah,
good
try
to know.
It.
It's try good
it.
To know.
Just walk
yeah.
around your house, you know, put your pajamas on, sprinkle a little glitter somewhere.
I think
good,
a guy named Walt made a lot of money saying that, didn't he?
Yes. You think I kid.
Well, we had an opportunity. I just wanted to mention this before we go. We had an opportunity last week to go catch Hunger Games, Catching Fire, and to see the horses in there. And I don't know if we talked. Did we talk about it on this show? The fact that one of the hosts of the Horse Radio Network was in that movie.
No, who was in it?
Dr. Wendy Ying of the Driving Radio Show drove the chariot that carried Katniss during the one scene in the movie.
Get out! out of here.
No, she was involved. They were up there in Atlanta for about 3 weeks during the filming of the movie. Yeah. And her and a bunch of the people we know from the driving radio show actually were the drivers. And the chariots were fairly large. But what they had to do is bend down in the nose of the chariot. And they had this little slit to look out of. And the reins actually went through the bottom of the chariot. Because the way it's filmed in the movie, the chariots are not, the horses are not being driven by anything. They actually CGI the reins out.
Oh.
So there are no reins, and they're just driving themselves in the movie. And then, the celebrities or, the contestants for the Hunger Games are just standing in the chariots. So she was actually in the chariot with Jennifer Lawrence and got to meet her and spend some time with the stars of the movie, and was crunched down in the chariot driving the horses. And all they could see was a tiny little slit, and they were driving a pair of Frisian horses, each one of them, each of the six chariots. Had a pair of Frisian horses. So she said it was very difficult. She said they had to be in that position for hours.
Oh, boy, I bet.
Yeah, so she said, she said she just couldn't see anything. She said, thankfully, Katniss and PETA were the two characters that were in the chariot with her. She had the two main ones. And she said they were actually telling her where to turn and stuff because they couldn't see while driving down there. She said, so it was very interesting because all they could really see was the horse's legs.
I was going to say, that's right up, yeah. Challenges right up Wendy's alley.
Yeah. But they had fun doing it, and it was so much fun. I actually got to see her boyfriend was an extra in the movie. So we got to see him a little bit. So that was kind of fun too.
Wow, that's so cool. Yeah. I want to be in a movie with horses.
Yeah, so we're going to talk all about that on the driving radio show this week. So if you haven't, she's going to have a couple of the other people that were in the movie on the show. They weren't allowed to talk about it. They were signed to secrecy before the movie came out.
Okay.
But by the way, a quick movie review. Jennifer and I loved it. It was an excellent movie. Much better than the first one, actually. And, obviously, if if it's a disturbing story, the whole plot line, the books were disturbing, the concept is disturbing. So if you get by that and you're okay with that, this second movie was absolutely excellent. Kept you going for 2.5 hours on the edge of your seat.
I know nothing of the series. The books are... I don't know anything about it.
Well, if you get a chance to get caught up, it was it gets an A from us.
Oh, okay.
So, yep.
And good entertainment, you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, the plot line's kind of disturbing. It's kids killing each other. So,
Yeah, not really a big fan of that.
No, I mean, you have to be willing to accept that that fact. But it made a bazillion dollars over the weekend.
So funny what people find... what they're attracted to.
It really did. I mean, it made like $160 million the first weekend, and then just keeps making a ton of money. It's a very well done movie. The movie itself is very well done. You could tell they spent a lot of money making this movie, and it's all because Wendy was in it. So
of course. Well, okay, Wendy, if you're listening, and you should be because it's the Stable Scoop show. Wendy, go make a movie. I think we should make a movie like called The Ying Chronicles.
She's always on some kind of cool adventure. She could, actually. She could
right?
do it.
And she's cute. She's like probably looks great in front of a camera.
Yes.
She could be like the new contemporary version of All Creatures Great and Small.
All right. Very good. Well, let's wrap it up. That's about it for this week.
That's about it. But there's going to be more because there always is with Stable Scoop. Until then... happy scooping.
Santa baby, slip a sable under the tree for me. I've been an awful good girl, Santa baby. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 64 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be oh so good if you check off my Christmas list. Ba-doo-be-doo, Santa honey, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. I've been an angel all year, Santa baby. Hurry down my chimney tonight.
thing I really do need, the deed to a platinum mine. Santa cutie, hurry down my chimney tonight. Santa baby, and fill my stockings with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany's. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Ba-doo-be-doo, Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing. A ring, I don't mean a phone. Santa baby, hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. What are you waiting on, cowboy?